I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord once again. And a very welcome back to all those who have traveled. Good to see all of you back in the house of the Lord. Now, this morning the message is, pick up your cross and follow me. I will be speaking from Matthew chapter 16 verses 20 to 26. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, when I was a teenager, the pop star in those days was this man called Elvis Presley. Have you heard of Elvis Presley? The younger ones, maybe you don't know who Elvis Presley was. But the older ones here certainly would know who Elvis Presley was. As my contemporaries idolized him and imitated him. I was not a believer then, and of course I idolized him and I imitated him, or at least we tried to imitate him. So those who tried to imitate him, the pattern, the dressing, the hairstyle, the way they sang, the way they shook themselves after Elvis. Now we would think that after 30 years of the passage of Elvis Presley, he died for 30 years now. People would have forgotten Elvis Presley, but that's not the case. Today, Elvis Presley still has got quite a lot of fan clubs, and many of these fan clubs have this as their motto: "Let's keep the king alive." Yes, in their imagination, let's keep the king alive. And many of these die-hard followers would, on special occasions, maybe on Elvis' birthday or on his death anniversary, they put on that shiny sequined robe, like the clothing like Elvis would put on, and then they would try to comb their hair to look like Elvis Presley. And of course, if they don't have hair, they buy a wig and put on their head to look like Elvis Presley, and they love to look like him. And are they ashamed of Elvis? No, my dear friends, their fans love to be known by people that they want to be like Elvis. And I would not be surprised at all if, given half a chance, if they have the ability to go for a surgical makeover, they will surely go for it to look like Elvis Presley. Friends, that's how committed people are in following the idols of the world. Now let's look at the way we profess believers in the Lord Jesus Christ follow the Lord. The question is, are we really following Him? Are we patterning our lives after Him? Are we becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we ashamed of Him? Now Elvis was only a pop star, a temporal pop star. And yet he had such a great following, and people today still follow him even after he had died for 30 years. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the whole wide universe. Elvis died of drug overdose. He was gone, and as we said, his fans today still try to keep him alive in their imagination, and they try to copy him. Our friends, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is alive, and He lives in our hearts. We don't have to try to keep Him alive. He is alive. He lives. And today He is seated at the right hand of God. And someday soon He's going to come back for us to receive us back unto Himself. My dear friends, the question is, we have such a great God. He died for us. He gave His all for us. Rose up from the dead for us. Are we following Him, friends? Are we following Him? Now, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must follow Him. If we are His true disciples, we must follow Him. He says in Mark chapter 16, verse 24. I'd like us to look at that verse. Mark 16, verse 24. Look at verse 24. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 24. Take up his cross. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He makes it very clear. If we are truly His believers, His followers, we must deny ourselves and we must take up our cross and follow Him. Now he has set the pattern for us to follow. He denied himself in his birth. He denied himself in his life. He denied himself in his death. He was not born in some great royal palace in the city of Jerusalem, which would be most befitting for a prince. But friends, he, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the whole wide universe, when he came to this earth, he was born not in a grand palace, but in a filthy, dirty cattle shed in the city of Bethlehem. And when he was walking on this earth, there was not a single place that he could call home. He said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He didn't have a place to lay his head. There was no place that he could call home. And his greatest denial was that he who is God gave up heaven's glory when he came down to earth to become man. He vacated his heavenly throne and took on the form of a servant. Now the servant here is not the kind of servant we understand the servant to be today. The servant here refers to a born slave. He took on the form of a born slave and then he died. He didn't die just an ordinary death. He died the death of the worst kind of criminals, the death of the cross, when he was perfectly sinless, perfectly holy, perfectly righteous. He gave his all for us. He denied himself even in his death. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, I'd like us to look at these two familiar verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Look at the extent to which he denied himself. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But keep your finger at Matthew chapter 16. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. I'll read for you. "But Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." Servant here is born slave. "And was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The death of the cross was the worst kind of penalty. It was the penalty, death penalty, for the worst kind of criminals. The Lord Jesus Christ died that kind of death for us. Friends, he became poor so that we might become rich. He who is the Son of God became the Son of Man, that we, the sons of man, might become the sons of God. He denied himself. Like him, my dear friends, if we want to be his disciples, if we want to be his followers, we must deny ourselves. Now, in what areas should we deny ourselves? First, like him, we must deny our will. That's the first thing we must deny. Deny our will. The Lord came to do the will of the Heavenly Father. He denied his own will and did the will of the Heavenly Father. While he was on earth, his one objective was to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Even when he was approaching his death on the cross, he said, "Father, not my will, but may your will be done." Likewise, if we want to follow our Master, my dear friends, we must not be doing our own will. We must deny our will like our Master. Yes, and do the will of the one true living God. I dare say, in making many major decisions in our life, I think we are very, very tempted. Very, very tempted to do our own will rather than the will of the Heavenly Father. Many of our major decisions are related to what? Related to our studies, our education, related to our career, related to the choice of a spouse, related to where we live and how we live. These are major decisions. Now, when we make our major decisions, are we doing our will or are we doing the will of the one true living God? A young man finishing high school might hear the call of God to go into full-time ministry. He knows it. "I must go straight away and go myself into a Bible college and prepare myself for the ministry to serve the Lord." But then the attraction of the world gets into his head. His caught up with the attraction of the world, and then he tells the Lord, Lord, please let me finish my university education first. And after I finish my university education, Lord, allow me to work for a few more years. Allow me to work a few years, and after I gain all these experiences, then Lord, I will be in a better position for you. More experience, more prepared to serve you. But friends, what's the truth? The truth is this young man wants to do his own will rather than the will of the Heavenly Father. Now if we fail to deny our will, we might very well shipwreck our faith. Consider, for example, the will with regards to choosing a career. Now when I was a teenager, I remember one day sitting in the park, the small park near my home, and then my friend came to me. He was a few years older than I was. And then he asked me a very pointed question. He had just become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was very zealous. He came and asked me, are you born again? Are you saved? I was not a believer then. Of course I was quite shocked by what he asked, what he said. I didn't know what he was talking about. Of course I didn't care to believe what he said. But what happened to this friend of mine? Yes, not long after he left school, he joined a cigarette manufacturing company. Now, was it the Lord's will that he should be joining this company? The answer is obvious. No, he should not be joining that company. And he did very well in that company. Yes, because he was really a very smart fellow. He grew in his job, and he grew into a very high managerial position in that company. But what happened to him spiritually? Spiritually, he was a wreck. He stopped going to church. He backslided. And he backslided to the extent that that he said this. One day I met him, many years after he joined this company, I met him, he said this to me. He said, smoking does not cause cancer. He said that to me. And he said, prove to me that smoking causes cancer. Of course, then I cannot prove to him. But my point is this. This friend of mine backslided over time because he made the wrong decision. He chose to do his own will rather than the will of the Lord. Then in the matter of the choice of a life partner, a spouse, how needful it is that a believer will say to the Lord, Lord, not my will, but may your will be done. Is that your prayer, young people? That must be your prayer. Not my will, but may your will be done. And what is the Lord's will? And the Lord's will is given to us clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But keep your finger at Matthew chapter 16. Look at this very familiar verse. I'd like to remind all of us this very, very important teaching, particularly you young people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Yes, I read it for you. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? My dear friends, these are all rhetorical questions. No fellowship at all. We must not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Believers who violate this command get themselves into very serious trouble. Yes, now if the marriage works out well, it is not because the marriage is normal. It is because the Lord is very, very merciful. That's why the marriage works out alright. But friends, in most cases, the marriages don't work out well. Yes, and what is meant to be a little heaven on this side of life can become a living hell. Yes, it is true, my dear friends. So take heed, young people, do the will of the Heavenly Father. Deny your own will in regards to making your choices. Now, in what other area should we deny ourselves? It is in the area of honor. Now, in our own sinful nature, we are very, very honor-grabbing. That's true. We want honor. Even the Lord's disciples were guilty of this sin. They wanted to have honor. You remember the two Zebedee brothers. Who are they? James and John, the inner circle disciples. One day they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked the Lord to grant them prominent positions in his kingdom. one to be seated on his right hand and the other one on his left hand, because they were thinking that the Lord was going to set up an earthly kingdom and they want honor in his kingdom. Yes. And what did the Lord say to them? Alright, the Lord says in Mark chapter 10 verses 44 and 45. Let's turn to these two verses, but keep your finger in Matthew chapter 16, but turn with me to Mark chapter 10 verses 44 and 45. This was the Lord's reply to them. You want prominent places? You want honor? Listen to this. Mark 10, 44 and 45. Let's read them together. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, if you want to be a chief, or if you want to be chief, then be a servant of all. You must deny yourself your own honor. And our Lord set the example. On that night, that he was betrayed, after he had taken supper with his disciples, he washed the feet of the disciples. Can you imagine it? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the whole wide universe, washing the filthy feet of his disciples. By his action, he was telling his disciples, you want honor? Let me teach you something infinitely better. Let me teach you humility. The Lord had to clearly tell them to deny their own honor. And it is true, friends, when members of the church clamor for honor, yes, the church disunites. And that's true. I've heard of how some members of certain churches try to outdo one another. They want to show that they are better than others, others not as good, not as clever, not as smart, not as efficient, not as effective as they are. So what happens? Everybody wants honor in the church. The church becomes disunited. The Word of God tells us to do otherwise concerning our honor. Deny our honor. And the teaching is given to us clearly in Romans chapter 12 verse 10. I'd like us to turn to Romans 12 verse 10, but keep your finger at Matthew chapter 16. But Romans 12 10. Romans 12 10, I read this verse for you, or rather let's read it together. Romans 12 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor, put others ahead of ourselves. That's what it means. Friends, to be his disciples, we must be willing to deny ourselves honor and to give him honor instead. Give the Lord the honor. Remember John the Baptist. Yes, John the Baptist had a huge following and people wanted to honor him. But you know what he said? He must increase and I must decrease. We must do the same, friends, if we want the Lord's work to prosper, if we want the Lord to bless us in our service, if we want to be good witnesses for the Lord must have the honor. He must increase and I must decrease. Now the next thing we must deny ourselves in is our so-called power. Yes, our so-called power. We must deny our so-called power until we realize that we are nothing and can do nothing without him. Friends, we will not be effective for him. Our Lord says in John chapter 15 verse 5, he said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do something? No. Ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Friends, we have to realize that, or we have to practically realize, not realize that we are practically nothing, but we have to practically realize that we are nothing before the Lord, before the Lord can make use of us. And the great apostle Paul realized that he had to be weak in order that the Lord could make use of him, in order that the Lord could strengthen him, so that he could be of use for the Lord. Remember, Paul was afflicted with this thing known as the thorn in the flesh. He was given that very special privilege to be caught up into the third heaven. He's entered into heaven itself. And there he heard things unspeakable. Now, a man given that kind of privilege, having seen heaven, he'd have his head swollen. Yes, and so the Lord said, Paul said, in order that I be humble, the Lord allowed this thorn in the flesh to afflict me. And for three times he asked the Lord to remove the thorn from him, but the Lord said no. And finally the Lord told him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So what was Paul's response? Paul said, then Lord, I'll glory in my infirmities, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. He realized that he had to be weak first of all, then he could be strong, and then so that he could be of use for the Lord. An example in the Old Testament shows us how needful it is for us to deny our power before the Lord can make use of us. Consider the example of Jacob. Now, what was Jacob noted for? Jacob was noted for his ability, his power to scheme and to manipulate. Isn't it true? Yes, he was noted for that. Well, he was interested in spiritual things, but then he should not make use of his ability to manipulate the scheme to get those spiritual things. He was very interested in the father's birthright, very interested in the spiritual blessing that he will receive from God. And so what he did was, he swindled off his brother of his birthright, cheated his brother or stole his brother's blessing. He was interested in them, but he had no business to do it in unlawful ways. He did those things in an unlawful manner. The result of which was, he heard that his brother was going to kill him. So to escape the wrath of his brother, he escaped to Uncle Laban's. And he was with Uncle Laban for 20 years. There he was swindled, left, right, center. But the Lord prospered him over the 20 years. He became a very wealthy man. And then the Lord also blessed him with a huge family. But the time came when the Lord said, Jacob, you go home. So Jacob, with his family, with his huge belongings, huge properties, returned to his homeland. But there was just one problem when he arrived at the home, in his homeland. The problem was his twin brother Esau. He heard that Esau was going to come out to meet him with an army. So Jacob literally came to his wit's end. Could he count on his ability to manipulate? Could he count on his ability to scheme? No longer. Yes, he had to realize how weak he was. And that night, the Lord very, very graciously met with him before the day that he was to meet with his twin brother. And the Lord strengthened him. The Lord demonstrated the new power that would come upon him by changing his name from Jacob to Israel. Jacob means supplanter, usurper, but God changed his name to Israel, which means a prince of God, or one who fights victoriously with God on his side. So God bless him. So instead of a big fight between the two brothers, the Lord reconciled the two brothers, and they were very, very happily reunited. Friends, unless we deny the power we think we have, God's Spirit cannot work in us. Never go around thinking that we are very able, very capable, very effective. If we think that of ourselves, the Lord cannot make use of us. The Holy Spirit cannot work in us. It is when we realize that we are nothing and can do nothing without Him, that we will find our sufficiency in Him. Let's realize that. Now the other area that we must deny ourselves in is our interest. Our interest. The interest of the Lord must always come first. And what about the interest of other people? Friends, we must have the interest of other people in mind, in as much as we must have our own interest in mind. Not just our own interest, but think of other people's interest as well. For did not the Lord say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. So we must pay attention to other people's interests also. But friends, it is true, we are always very inclined to please ourselves. But Paul says that that ought not to be the case. Even if the things that we are interested in are lawful and right for us to be interested in and right for us to do. Yes, just remember that. Paul was talking with reference to meat sacrificed to idols. And Paul said that on many occasions, that eating meat sacrificed to idols was actually nothing. It was alright, lawful to do it. But Paul said this, if by my taking meat, I'm going to cause a brother to stumble in his faith, I will not do it. I'll pay attention to his interest over my own interest. And that's what he said. Now, Paul was actually speaking in the context of people in those days who came from an idolatrous background. They were saved from idolatry. Yes, now they were young believers. Now, if they saw Paul eating meat sacrificed to idols, they might pick up enough courage and say, since Paul can do it, I might do it also. And so he eats the meat sacrificed to idols. But after he has taken the meat sacrificed to idols, how does he feel? He feels very guilty about it. His conscience is hurt. And that is what we should never do. We should never ever hurt our conscience, because our conscience must be maintained as sharp as possible so that we will always be very sensitive to sin. But if we hurt our conscience once, we blunt our conscience a little. We hurt it another time, we blunt it even more. And then there come a time when we will no longer be sensitive to sin. So Paul says we mustn't ever hurt the conscience of a brother. Be considerate to them. So even if the thing is right for us to do, let's not do it. It is going to cause somebody to stumble. Yes, pay attention to the interests of other people. Deny ourselves our own interest. Yes, if we deny our interest for the interest of others, my dear friends, we will then be useful for the Lord. But not until then. I could have told you this before, and this is with regards to a Christian rugby player. He was playing professional rugby, and for one season he was, of course, offered to play for a club, but he decided not to play for that club. For that season, he decided to give his time to a group of young people whom he wanted to minister to. He wanted to encourage them in the faith. So for that season, he didn't play rugby. Of course, that meant that he would have lost quite a bit of income. So he went to play soccer instead with this group of young people to help them to grow in the faith. What a great example was set by him. My question to all of us here, friends, is this, or are this, what are we denying ourselves our interest for the interest of others? Are we denying our interest on prayer meeting nights? What are your interests? What is your interest, or what are your interests on prayer meeting night? Perhaps your interest is to watch your favorite movie or favorite television program on a Friday night. Or Friday night is time for me to think to come late. Yes, maybe that's your interest. But friends, could we not deny ourselves our interest for the interest of other people? By coming to the church prayer meeting to pray for them, to encourage other people in the most holy faith. Then what about visiting the sick? What about visiting the aged? That might take away some of our precious time for our own pleasures. But could we put our interests aside? Could we deny ourselves our interest and take care of the interests of other people? To help them to grow, to comfort them, to encourage them in the Lord. Now what another area that we must deny ourselves in is the area of our worldly ideas. My dear friends, we must try to deny our worldly ideas in the way we serve the Lord. Now you will remember Peter's great confession. Remember, Peter confessed that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Christ and the Son of God. Now during that time there were many speculations with regard to who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And there were people who said that he was John the Baptist who came back from the dead. And then there were others who said that he was Jeremiah. Others said that he was Elijah who came back from the dead, who rose up from the dead. Others said that he was one of the prophets. And then the Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples, "Now, whom do you say I am?" Peter, as usual, the bold one, yes, the courageous one, the one who would always speak before he thought. But in this instance, he was right, perfectly right. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Absolutely right. And the next moment, we look at Peter, when the Lord talked about his sufferings, when the Lord talked about the necessity for him to go to the city of Jerusalem, where he would be arrested and then he would be killed. Peter said, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." He rebuked the Lord. You know why he did that? Because he was thinking that the Lord was going to establish his earthly kingdom, like James and John. If the Lord established his kingdom, earthly kingdom, then Peter would have an honorable position in his kingdom. His thought was worldly, his thought was carnal. And the Lord knew exactly who was responsible for that idea. It was, of course, none other than Satan himself. And so in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, the Lord then said, he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." In our service for the Lord in the church, yes, we can be like Peter. We have our worldly ideas in with regards to the way we serve the Lord. Now we might be good managers, good organizers in our secular world. But what the church needs is not just it's not so much good managers. That's not what the church needs so much. What the church needs most, my dear friends, are not so much managers, but prayers. People who will go on their knees to pray. What the church needs is not so much organizers, but rather agonizers. People who are willing to go on their knees to agonize, to pray for the church, to pray for the well-being of the church. That's what the church needs. Now, I'm not saying that good organization and good management are not important. They are. They are necessary in the church. If you don't have good management, good organization, the church can be run haphazardly. That's not right. The church must be run decently and in order. But friends, what I'm saying is this. We are very, very capable of being very, very proud of our pet worldly ideas, so much so that we will introduce these ideas into the church. Yes, we won't want to deny them, we will bring them into the church. But friends, we must deny ourselves our pet worldly ideas when we serve the Lord. I remember when I first had a little bit of worldly experience in management in the secular world, of course I thought it was very good. I knew a lot. Yes, I didn't like the way the church fund was managed. You see, the church had a budget, and I didn't like the way the church fund was managed because the church always never kept within the budget when it spent money. So I didn't like that. I was quite critical of that. I said, if there was a budget, you must work within the budget. And so, even if there were great needs out in the missions field, we should not bother ourselves with the work in the missions field. Our budget must come first, must work within that framework. Thankfully, in the session, yes, there were people who were very wise, who taught me and showed me how foolish and how carnal I was. They were older Christians, they were very, very much wiser, spiritual, they were very, very spiritual, and they taught me by their example that I should deny my worldly ideas and serve the Lord. And that's very important, my dear friends. Very often we have to deny our worldly ideas in the way we serve the Lord. As we said, what the church needs is not so much a good manager, but what the church needs is every person a good prayer. What the church needs is not a good organizers, but every member a good agonizer. Now let's look at verse 24 again. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If we want to be his disciples, my dear friends,
we must take up our cross to follow him. We are not only to deny ourselves, but we are to take up our cross to follow him. Now, when the Lord spoke about the cross in those days, people would understand him clearly what he was talking about, because the sight of criminals facing the death penalty, carrying the cross to where they will be crucified, was possibly quite common to the people in those days. Yes, they would have seen people carrying those crosses. Now, what did the cross symbolize? Of course, the cross symbolized death. It symbolized sufferings. But death to what? Death to self. Death to the old man in us. The great apostle Paul says this about our becoming believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, for us to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, for us to be effective witnesses for him, there is no other way. I've said it many, many times, and the Word of God says it many, many times. We must reckon ourselves to be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. The old man, the sinful self in us, must be put to death. Yes, we have become new creatures. Now, if you look at the things that we have to deny, remember, we have to deny our will, deny our honor, deny our interest, deny our power, deny our favorite worldly ideas. You see that all these things that we are to deny are very, very much related to self. Yes, related to our self-interest, very much related to self. So long as the old man is active, dear friends, self-centeredness will be very manifested in us. If we allow the old man to be active, self-centeredness will become very common. So to be victorious as believers, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the old man, the sinful nature in us, must be crucified. We must take up the cross and follow him. Now the cross is also a symbol of suffering. It's not only a symbol of death, but also a symbol of suffering. We are to suffer with him. The servant is not greater than his master. The servant is not greater than his Lord. The Lord was persecuted. So will we be persecuted? Maybe yes, maybe not. But we must expect persecution. So if persecution ever comes our way, let us never be surprised. We must expect persecution. And very often I hear young people who have come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they say that my parents are very angry with me for becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they do not allow me to go to church. Yes, so I'm not coming to church. Friends, they don't recognize that what is happening to them is that they are actually experiencing persecution. So should they stop going to church? No, my dear friends, they must expect persecution to come their way. And then we may be isolated because of our faith. We may lose some job opportunities. We may lose some business opportunities. Because of our faith, because we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we do not want to engage ourselves in dishonest dealings. Friends, we must expect persecution to come our way. Then there are those who have to suffer some afflictions because of their service unto the Lord, because they are the Lord's disciples. When I think of afflictions and sufferings, I think of my dear missionary friends, the Ebers, who served in the Philippines at Holy many times before, for 12 years among these tribal people known as the Palabanos. He served with them for 12 long years, and during those 12 years that he served the Lord among them, they suffered from all kinds of tropical diseases. Mrs. Ebert, because she contracted malaria, and because of the treatment, she lost her hearing. She became deaf. Reverend Ebert suffered from many bouts and many different kinds of tropical diseases. And after the 12 long years of service in Palawan, they went to Metro Manila. You know, Metro Manila is very polluted. And then Reverend Ebert developed very, very severe chronic asthmatic problem. It almost, these problems literally cripple him. Yes, they literally do. But I've never heard them complaining. They always look back with rejoicing over what the Lord had done to them among the Palawanas. Yes, they never complain. And friends, that must be the way we bear our cross. We must not drag our cross as if the cross is a big burden, but we have to take it up with rejoicing. We must not say, oh, I can't help it. This is my lot. I have to suffer. But rather, my dear friends, we should follow the example of the great apostle Paul in the way we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul rejoiced in his infirmities. He said this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities. Yes, we rejoice when we suffer for the Lord. What did the Lord say concerning persecution? Yes, trying to commit the Beatitudes into memory. Yes, the Lord Jesus, as part of his Beatitudes, said this, Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now the next question is, what are the gains of discipleship? Alright, I follow the Lord. I deny myself. Yes, I take up my cross to follow him. Now, what are the gains? Of course, the number one gain is this, needless to say, we belong to the Lord, and the Lord belongs to us. That's the number one gain. We have been freed from the power of sin. We have been freed from self. We have been freed from the world. All this enslaved us until the day we came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Until the day we denied ourselves. Until the day we were willing to take up our cross to follow him. And those who live for the temporal, for this present life, will lose their life. Look at verse 25, Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. The Lord says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. How can we profess to be his disciples if we do not deny ourselves and if we do not take up our cross to follow him? I dare say that self-denial is a manifestation of repentance. Self-denial is a fruit of repentance. Sometimes you ask, what's meant by the fruit of repentance? Self-denial, my dear friends, is a fruit of repentance. Yes, those who will live for what is temporal only will lose their life. The death is not only physical death, friends. That death is also a spiritual death. Because when they pass away from this earth, they will continue to be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ, separated from the one true living God. They are going to enter into eternity, spending eternity in the lake of fire, where they will be tormented day and night for all eternity. For those who lose their life for Christ's sake and are willing to take up their cross and follow him, the Lord says, will find life. Yes, in their earthly life, they could suffer material losses, they could suffer material deprivation. But friends, they will be able to enjoy fullness of life on this earth. They will be able to enjoy the comfort of the Lord. They will be able to enjoy the joy of the Lord. They will be able to enjoy a very, very meaningful life if they deny themselves and take up the cross to follow the Lord. You know what kind of life the Lord calls this? He calls it abundant life. My question to you is this, friends, do you have abundant life? If you want to have abundant life, then deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. And you will experience the abundant life that the Lord has prepared for you. And apart from the fullness of life on this earth, yes, if we have taken up our cross to follow him, we have denied ourselves, friends, when we step out of this time capsule and enter into eternity, we will be with the Lord. And if we have denied ourselves faithfully, and we will be taking up our cross to follow him faithfully. Friends, the day will come when he will reward us with his beautiful words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And he's going to reward us also with the crown of righteousness, with the crown of glory. When the Lord returns, my dear friends, he's going to share his glory with us. He's going to share his throne with us. We will be ruling with him. Verse 27, Matthew 16 says this. Verse 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Now those who are not willing to deny themselves and are focusing on amassing earthly gains, consider this question posed by the Lord. Look at the question, verse 16. It says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What is the gain? My dear friends, the gain is less than zero. Yes, naked you come into this world, and for sure naked you are going to leave this world. Even if you have gained the whole world, you can't carry one single cent of all that you have gained out of this world. Friends, what kind of gain would you have? You don't have any gain. What you gain is effectively a big, big loss. And what's your loss? The loss is your soul. That's your biggest loss, my dear friends, if you are not willing to take up your cross to follow him, if you are not willing to deny yourself. Friends, we profess to be believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm a believer." Are you really a believer? Now, if we really are believers, then we must ask ourselves this question. Are we denying ourselves in the way we think? Are we denying ourselves as far as our will is concerned? Are we denying ourselves with respect to our honor, with respect to our so-called interest, to our so-called power, and with respect to our so-called favorite worldly ideas? Are we denying ourselves? Daily, are we taking up our cross to follow him? Daily, are we crucifying ourselves? Daily, are we saying this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. And the life which I now, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Friends, this is the only way for us to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember what he says in verses 25 and 26. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I trust, my dear friends, that you consider this question very, very carefully. If you have never seriously considered this question before, consider this question this morning. Take all these questions seriously, posed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we know that our following you is a challenge, that we are to deny ourselves and to take up our cross to follow you. Lord, we know that this is the cause of discipleship. And Father, we pray that we may not cheapen what you have done for us on the cross of Calvary, and to think lightly of discipleship. But help us to realize that if we are true disciples of yours, if we are truly confess you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the right thing for us is for us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross to follow you. And help us, O Lord God, by your grace, to deny ourselves our will, our honor, our interest, our so-called power, and our favorite worldly ideas in the way we serve you. We pray, O Lord God, that you will give us the strength, the special grace to deny ourselves. And Lord, we pray that you will also give us that special grace to take up our cross to follow you, and to do so joyfully. Lord, we pray also for those who have not understood what true discipleship is and have not committed their lives to you yet. and have not truly conquered the cause of following you yet. We pray that you will be very gracious to them. This morning we pray that you will speak to their hearts and cause that their repentance may be real, O Lord God, that they will come and follow hard after you, so that this may really be a church, a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, with every member of the church acknowledging you as his or her Lord and Savior. We pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.